Next on Discovery Channel Radio, Tool Belt Diva with Norma Valley from Discovery Home Channel. If you have a home improvement question or problem you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva, call 1-877-33-SERIOUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio. You can also email Norma your question at discovery.radio@discovery.com.
Hi, this is Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I am your host, Norma Valley, the Tool Belt Diva. Today, we are going to be talking about house flippers. House flippers. What is house flipping? Well, house flipping is when you go and buy a home, you make some home improvement repairs, and then you sell it at a profit. And it is an enormous trend, and it is making people a lot of money. So, in the studio, we have Angelo and Antonio. Hello.
How are you, Norma?
Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
And these are two regular guys. Now, excuse me, I don't mean like regular. They are absolutely exceptional men. They are super successful and handsome and
knock around guys.
Very intelligent college graduates, but you're not contractors. You're not construction guys, and yet you're going in, you're buying homes, and you're flipping them at a profit.
Absolutely.
You've jumped on the bandwagon, or should I say money train, of what's happening. So please tell me how you got started. Who started first here?
I guess that would be me. It's a little bit coincidental. I bought a house in a neighborhood that I really liked, and the house needed to have some work done to it. So I got in, and I started doing the work to it, and then I had a few apartments in it. So I had a real estate agent involved, and he started showing the apartments, and people really liked what they saw. I started getting offers on the house, the house I wanted to rent. And some of the offers came in, and they were so high that I couldn't refuse them. I had to jump on them.
Right.
So I wound up selling that house at more money than I ever thought I would be able to make from one little house.
So initially you bought it to live in it yourself?
100%.
Wow. So and then you had no place to live. So you sold, you made a lot of money.
Made a lot of
because
money.
Because somebody made you an offer you couldn't refuse.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And then you needed to buy another house.
To live in. Of course.
And then what happened?
Same thing.
So, Angela, now you're on your second house that you and you still have no place to live, but you're making a ton of money?
Right.
All right. So, and then what happened with that one?
Well, Antonio and I have been friends for a really, really long time.
Okay.
So he'd come by and he'd check out what we were doing, and he would look at the situation and offered me some advice. And it was a second set of eyes.
Right.
Second set of ideas. And we have a great amount of respect for each other because of how long we know each other.
Right.
And trust.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very important in terms of partnerships, who you find yourself involved with.
Absolutely.
And we decided to do it together.
Right.
So when that house was sold, we started looking in different neighborhoods for more options. And we began officially flipping.
Right on.
Absolutely. Unbelievable.
So, Antonio, you actually were just going over to a friend's house and just, you know, giving him some input and checking out what he was doing. And then when did it kind of dawn on you, like, hey, and this is a profitable situation here. Let's jump on this.
Well, basically, me and Angelo know each other for about 15 years. And like you said, there's a really, like, a large amount of mutual respect there. And my dad was a handyman.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything, as you know. He knows everything about everything.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit about everything, I should say. And so I kind of had it in my blood a little bit. And I would say, you know, nothing. This would look a little bit better if it was over to the left, like 6 inches. Or what about putting a cabinet here? And he'd be like, you know what? That's a good idea. And then after his first situation, which I remember pretty well, and the second situation came down, I said to him, I says, Ange, not for nothing. We could probably turn this into a business and make a little money.
Right.
We're both in the service industry, so we both work at night, basically. So we both have college educations. We never actually found the 9-to-5 itch or a niche that we really felt comfortable in. So we said, you know, let's try, give it a shot.
Right.
So I guess people have been doing this for centuries, but
not as much as they are today.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with all the information that's available through the internet and, you know, all the large home centers and all the magazines. And
Tool Belt Diva radio show.
Right, and Tool Belt Diva radio show, among other things. And I think that with all the information that's available, it's easy. Of course, I mean, with the way the media is, everybody knows what the housing boom is and what the prices have gone. And,
oh, my God.
It's ridiculous through the roof. So I think that's why it's a little more, you know, evident nowadays. And so we said, okay. So we started going on the internet and looking at different realtors and, you know, .coms and whatnot.
So it was through the internet and officially that you started looking for homes.
Well, and a lot of footwork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going to neighborhoods that you like, where you see some promise and, you know, essentially knocking on people's doors.
Right.
And looking at the for sale signs. So it's not just the internet.
So you're not going to just sit on your butt in an office and surf and then and find something. You have to actually get out there and pound the pavement.
We will physically look at 20, 30, 40 houses before we make an offer on them.
Right.
Wow.
I think for every 50 houses that we saw, we made an offer on a lot of them. We made an offer maybe on 15 to 20 of them. And I think I'd say 50 houses before we bought our first.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say that.
So what was it about that first house that you bought that made you say this is the one?
That's a good question.
I guess the price that we were able to get it for and knowing what the neighborhood warranted.
The location, yeah. Uh-huh.
I think with us is, and this is something that we abide by, but not necessarily, I mean, there's so much flexibility in this business. So
right.
There's so many, there's the low ends. We have friends who do only co-ops and condos, like, you know, one bedroom co-ops and condos. They're in for a little bit.
Right.
You know, they spend $10,000. Sometimes it's $5,000 just cleaning a place up. And we do basically one to four families,
mm-hmm.
But we have friends who do six families, nine family commercial properties. I mean, there's so many different angles that you could do. And what happened with this property that we saw was we got in for a very exceptional deal. It was a foreclosure that someone had picked up. And
is that a happy word, foreclosure?
No, it's not a very
not for the people being foreclosed
but for
on.
You guys, for on the your end of it, it's a happy word, right?
It's a great word.
It was, yeah. It was a great word. We picked it up in a neighborhood that is an up and coming, quote unquote, neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a neighborhood that was known for a lot of projects back in the day. But it's a lot of yuppies moving in, young professionals or whatnot. And we went in there, and it was definitely. We were scared, like with a foreclosure, what a lot of people don't know is you're not allowed in the house until after you purchase it.
Okay.
So
and how are you supposed to see the house?
We bought this house sight unseen.
Right.
We knew what they were asking for it.
Are you serious?
Sight unseen.
Okay, like my grandfather always said, you never buy a cat in a bag.
Well,
I don't understand how you could buy a house and not look inside.
You buy a cat in a bag. The most important thing that we do is we're kind of conservative house flippers. We don't just, you know, oh, that looks like a good deal. The first thing we do after we see a house, it catches our eyes, is we do what's called comps on it. And that's short for comparisons.
Okay.
So we'll go online and say, okay, this house is a two family on a 50 by 100 lot. Let's see the recent homes that were sold that have the same descriptions.
Okay.
And see what they were sold for. This house.
Smart.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to do this.
You have to do this.
This house, I think we saw that we could get from anywhere from 75% to 150% more than we were paying for it off the bat.
Wow.
So even if it was in absolutely disgraceful condition and we needed to knock it down, which we didn't,
right.
We knew that we would at least be able to get some equity out of it and rebuild if we had to. So we always try to hedge our bets. We never put ourselves in a position where if it doesn't work out the way we want to, we're really up the creek.
Right. So you're taking a risk, but you're making a calculated risk. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it.
I come from a very old Italian family. And the saying in the old Italian family is you never go wrong in real estate.
Right.
Which, yeah, that's great if you can afford to buy real estate. And what we feel is if we get into a situation where we feel we're buying something undervalued, worst comes to worst, we keep it and rent it out.
Right.
It pays for itself, and that's the situation that we put ourselves in.
You really can't go wrong, it seems like.
Oh, you can go wrong. But
like how? Tell me how.
You have to leave your emotions out of it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they buy, period, whether it's a house or a car or an article of clothing.
They get attached.
Is they get emotionally attached to it. And when you're in it for the business aspect of it, you have to leave your emotions at the door and say, does A plus B equal C?
Period, the end.
For me, that's it.
Right. That is really great advice. And there's so much more to talk about this. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more Two Bell Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio.
My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl. So I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle-dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SERIOUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio. You can also email Norma your question at discovery.radio@discovery.com.
We're back with Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, and we are talking with two fabulous house flippers, Antonio and Angelo. And I want to talk to you about when you do, okay, so you've found the house.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now what? I mean, where do you get started? How do you decide? What's your budget? Who's going to fix this place up? I mean, who are your contacts? Who's the GC, et cetera, et cetera?
As far as budget goes, and that's probably initially the most important thing, when you do those comps and you figure out what you can get for that.
Okay, so just to reiterate, comps is when you compare. Tell me what it is.
Comps is short for comparables. And a comparable is when you go out there and say, this is what the house can be worth in the proper condition. This is what houses have sold for in the last 9 to 12 months with the same characteristics in the same area as the house that you're purchasing or purchased.
All right, so you've established that.
Right, so say the house we bought for $200,000 and we saw on the high end, you know, you can get anywhere from $325,000 to $400,000. That's your profit margin. So, you know, on the low end, let's say it's $325,000, you know that if you want to make, let's say you want to make, you know, 20% on your money, that means you're at $240,000 and you want to make $60,000 on top of that. So that means that you know you only want to spend $40,000 to $50,000 in order to reach that profit margin. So say that that's your budget, $40,000 to $50,000. You look at the house and say, where can we allocate that money?
Okay, that's
plus or minus 10% because there's always something that comes up.
Right.
And don't forget your mortgage, your insurance, your electric, your gas, everything that you need to pay in the meantime.
Right.
Your utilities.
That's a lot to consider.
Sure,
but
it is.
It's great. It seems like you guys have a formula. I mean, and I know that, you know, there's no, it's not a science.
Yes, we definitely came with that formula through trial and error.
So I think you guys should write a book. I'm serious. You guys should write a book because you have clearly put out a formula. I mean, we just did it right now.
Well, Norma, one of the things is whenever we do a house, we try to build it, and our philosophy is we build it as if we were keeping it for ourselves.
Okay.
So when we look at it, the things that we hate about it most when we first walk in are the things we're going to focus on and change the quickest.
Which is smart, because most likely when somebody walks into the house, they're going to think the same thing that you do.
They're going to love the great kitchen.
They're
going to be impressed with the brand new bathroom or the jacuzzi or the recessed light.
We try to keep the girl opinion.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely really, really important. Like we noticed, like when we started selling the houses that we fixed up, the wives had
a lot to say, about
if not
it.
The majority.
Uh-huh.
And what well,
they
that's
like?
Why it's Tool Belt Diva, not Tool Belt Dude.
Guys want a place to live. Girls want a place to live and grow.
They want a home.
Closets.
They want
a something
home.
Beautiful. Yep.
So you're smart, very, very smart. So you were getting the female input there.
Oh, it's definitely an important key, especially for resale. And there's a lot of – and what we're noticing a lot too is even this, like in the smaller homes, in the apartments or the condos or the co-ops, women are dominating even purchasing those. Like
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of single independent women out
Absolutely.
There that are buying their goals in life. I have a sister, as you know, who her goal in life was to buy her own place, to buy
That's
her
right.
own condo. And you have to figure out what's going to appeal to the entire market.
And they want to buy something that they don't need to do work to.
Right.
So we sell the entire package. Here's the key.
You take care of it all.
It's taken
beforehand.
Care of. New boilers, new hot water heaters. You're not going to have a problem for 10, 15 years.
So how did you find the people to do this work? I mean, how hard was that? I mean, did you have a GC?
We are the GCs.
So you're the general contractors.
Finding workers is probably the hardest aspect of the whole situation.
Yeah.
People that you could trust, people who are reliable, people who bring a craft to the table.
Yes. And how did you find them?
Well, actually, I think finding workers isn't the problem. Finding workers that'll actually show up is the problem. That's definitely the problem. How do we do it? Again, doing footwork. Word of mouth is big. I mean, sometimes it's better to pay a little extra so when you know the job's going to be done right. So if someone came to you and said, you know, I used so-and-so on this job, you'd want to use him. He did a marvelous job for us. We'll definitely consider that person. I think that one other thing that we do is we definitely price everything out, whether it's materials or labor or anything that has anything to do with the house, we price out. And you're going to find, especially with labor, you're going to find someone that will charge you $100 and someone will charge you $1,000 for the same exact thing.
Absolutely.
And it's no reflection on their competence.
Right. You're doing a lot of legwork with you're not going to somebody and saying, I want you to do this and letting them handle everything.
No. We were speaking to your producer, Will, before the show, and we were saying how we do most of the physical work ourselves, most of the construction aspect, excuse me. But sometimes it's not cost effective to do it all yourself.
Right.
Because we could be working on something else. That's when we'll go out and hire workers to do what we can.
Okay. Smart.
That is to say, though, when it comes to plumbing and electric, getting a licensed plumber and a licensed electrician and very getting important. Someone who really knows them, you know, knows
absolutely.
What they're doing. You don't want to mess around with that.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, very minor demolition, we were talking about the different levels of you know, flipping. You know, sometimes it's just going into a house and cleaning up and getting rid of clutter and some new paint and just, you know, cleaning up some, you know, accessories and
cleaning a window, chopping down the bushes in front of the house, just making it look different, giving it some curb appeal.
Right. Right.
The first thing we did with the house that we're working on now, the very, very, very first thing was chop down an enormous pine tree in the front of it. You couldn't even see the house.
Really?
And already the house looks so much better.
Sure, because it was hiding. It was hiding. No one even knew it was there.
Sure.
So did you have like a projected amount of time that you were going to need to get it to the point that you wanted it to be ready to sell again? And did you exceed that time and that budget? That's what I
budget
wanna know.
Maybe. You usually exceed the budget. That's why Antonio was saying give yourself that extra 10%. For example, the house we're working on now, the basement wasn't as dry as we want it to be.
Ugh,
so suddenly
God.
We decided we had to put in a new driveway, which is about another $5,000. So it was $5,000 unaccounted for dollars to keep the basement dry.
Wow. So in other words, the driveway, the way the driveway was
water
making
was
water coming
into the
down
home.
Into the basement.
Sure.
Fantastic.
The driveway. Yeah. You know, getting back to that first house, I think that, you know, like I said, it was a foreclosure, so we weren't allowed in it. When we walked in it,
overwhelmed.
I think we were a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, it needed everything. There was no heat or running water in the place for like 2 years before we even got there.
Every window was broken, holes in the roof.
It was a disaster. So when it came to time frame, it was our first house. So we didn't know, to be
right.
honest with you. We estimated 6 to 8 months. We ended up doing the house, I think it was 3.5 months.
3.5, less than 4 months, because we went in full speed ahead, face first.
Wow. So you got it done in half the amount of time.
Yep.
You were like demons, man.
Well, what we do is we take a little time in the beginning and we organize what our plan should be. And we write down on a pen and paper, we're going to accomplish this and then this. And we're able to line up our phone calls and line up our window people. And our, you know, planning is so important. It's pivotal. So if you plan, you could shave a whole lot of time off your project.
Right. So you nail that plan down and then you attack.
Uh-huh.
And the other important part about that and what we learned with that house is that know where your house is located.
Okay.
Don't build a house, a Manhattan penthouse in a house that's in an urban project area.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to build a house that's worth $1 million, make sure it's in $1 million neighborhood.
Right.
So that was another thing. Like, you know, build it to the level that the house is at. And that's
absolutely.
Really important as well.
Absolutely. That's some great advice. Is there any, like, you know, I really want to have you guys back another time because I'm sure that there's people uh-huh. that would like to ask you questions. And just because you've done this so many times, you have tons of tricks and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of insider information that other people wouldn't know who are just getting started. You could share your experience. I think you should write a book. I think you should write a book.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that could add to what we know because we're always saying we're learning. Even to this day, like we've done like 6 or 7 houses already, and we're learning something new every day.
Well, give me a last word of advice, each of you, Antonio.
Don't be afraid of failure. That's my lead.
Okay.
Do not be. You know, learn from it. You know, there's so many things that we did that we had no idea what we were doing. Don't be afraid to open up the instruction manual. Look at the instruction manual.
Do you love a man that reads instructions? I adore it. Oh, awesome.
It's unusual.
Unusual.
People make fun of us. You open the instruction manual, you look at it, but that's how you learn. And so much of this business is, you know, looking with the eyes, hearing with the ears, and learning every day.
I bet you ask for directions, too.
All the time.
Bravo. Bravo. I love it. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. I hope to have you back sometime.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back with more Tool Belt Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio.
My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl, so I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
If
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio. You can also email Norma your question at discovery.radio@discovery.com.
Well, we're back with Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, and we are going to be catching up with a Tool Belt Diva. She's a guest on the Tool Belt Diva television show, and her name is Jacqueline. Hello, Jacqueline.
Hello, Norma.
Beautiful lady you are. I miss you.
Thank you. I miss you, too. We have such a great time. You should be here in Washington with me.
I wish I were. We actually, well, Jacqueline was working out in her garage, and we were able to create a really killer workout space in her garage.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Honey, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of people that have seen that episode are so in love with those folding screens that we made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How is that all working out for you?
It is perfect. I have to tell you that about a month ago, I saw another show. I caught another show where they were doing a home gym in the garage, and I stopped to look at it to see what they did.
Yeah.
What we did was few and far between because they put a permanent wall in and they put carpeting in. But what you and I did was we put those folding screens in, and the guys are really impressed that we sort of sandstone.
That's right.
The plexiglass.
That's right.
So they were like, "How did you do that?" And it was like,
"I think we should. I think we should put them on the market. We should mass produce them because we created folding screens from they were aluminum, if I remember.
Exactly.
And then there was panels made out of the plexiglass that we, in order for it to be more translucent, we sanded it ourselves.
Yes.
And we totally created that space in your garage of separation from where the car is.
It's like taking a Chinese screen but making it into aluminum and plexiglass, and so the light kind of glows through, but then the framing allows me to see out my garage into the greenery and the trees and the lake and things like that. It's fantastic. And then the floors.
Yes. That rubber padding that we put down.
I know.
I bet your joints are feeling better with that, huh?
Yeah, I get a lot of comments about that. And usually guys will come and look at it and they go, "Oh, we use this kind of like on boats and things like that." I said, "Well, we, Tool Belt Diva, we put it in the garage. It's perfect."
Well, you were doing
you
were doing aerobics right there on the concrete. That's no good for you.
No, it's not. And so since then, I've added to my collection because it's an absolute wonderful space. Every time I go down there, I'm inspired. When I'm afraid to do something new and big, I go down to my room and I'm inspired.
Well, you're inspiring, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Because I know that before we had worked together, you had never picked up a tool.
No.
In your life.
Mm-mm.
And by the end of the 2 days, you were just, you know, a pro with the drill and you cutting. And you weren't afraid anymore.
I wasn't. And that learning has actually paid off. I've been back to Home Depot about 4 times. One time I went back because I was actually thinking about expanding the aluminum folding screens that we built out because I wanted to like take them further across the wall. And so I bought some of the tools for that. Haven't built the screen yet, but I also went back because I wanted to attach some bands to the cement wall in the garage. And what I learned from the show was to ask the right questions and be confident about that and not leave the store with a lot of things that I didn't need.
Exactly.
And I was able to ask about options. They wanted to sell me a drill, and I thought, do I really need that drill? Because I'm drilling into cement or plaster, not into wood or aluminum, which was the big lesson I learned from the show. And I saved myself a lot of money because they understood that I understood.
Well, that's a diva do. A diva do is ask questions.
Yes.
Absolutely. And not to be afraid. Not to be afraid to ask, because that's how we all learn.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
After we left and you had friends and family come over, what did they think?
Here's the interest. I don't think people really appreciated what we did with those screens, how those folding screens was just, you know, a lot of independent materials and the measuring and the sanding and things that went into that. But guys actually thought, wow, okay, how did you do this? How did you do that? How did you use these hinges?
Right. What did your son think?
He hasn't seen it yet, but he's on the show because he's in another state.
Okay.
So he'll call me and he'll go, are you using your gym?
I love it.
He hasn't seen it yet. So I'm actually planning to paint one wall before he shows up.
You know, I think that my mother always would say, you know, nobody knows the work that went into something except the person that did the work themselves.
And you know what? That's the most important thing because I'm not afraid of anything now.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
You are awesome, Jacqueline. Thank you so much. It was great catching up with you. I'm glad you're enjoying your home gym.
I am, absolutely. It's one of the best things that I did last year. Thanks so much for your help.
It was great. You're great, honey.
Good luck. Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Norma.
Bye now.
Be sure to join us again next week for Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. For more about the show, just go to discovery.com and click on Discovery Home.